even on a Friday, there is no dull day here in Knoxville. Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We are broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, as we always do. And as always, the podcast is uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. The Periscope is available to view live right now on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. Of course, you can go to fanrunradio.com. That's a great place to check in with all the latest Tennessee news and information. And then finally, last but not least, go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app. Man, it's a great way to stick in touch with the show, stay in touch with the station, and you can take it anywhere you're headed throughout the day, not to mention, maybe the best part of all, it is the exclusive home for the Voluntary Reaction, your number one post-game show for any kind of Tennessee basketball or, well, football's in the past, but for any kind of basketball event coming up. Tomorrow after the Vanderbilt basketball game, we will be doing some kind of Voluntary Reaction, so make sure you have the Fan Run Radio app downloaded and ready to go for that. Of course, it is free. All right, gentlemen, hour number one in the books, hour number two on deck. Spent a lot of the first hour just kind of talking about a little bit about the basketball game coming up, a little bit about some of the NFL playoffs, but we really got a news story to sink our teeth into here right now with the football team. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right, so this story right here, and I do encourage you to go ahead and find it, but this comes from Austin Price and Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com just about half an hour ago. But the report is, and here's the headline, Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Ansley, and Kevin Steele are on their way to California to meet with Henry To'oto'o. So here's what we know. Yesterday is the day that Jeremy Pruitt's interview with the investigation concluded. I think we know from reports that it started around lunchtime and maybe ended up somewhere else in the afternoon. So now one day later, you have a group of coaches who it looks like we know here is Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Ansley, Tennessee Player Development Assistant Kevin Simon, and then it looks like Kevin Steele, Tennessee's newest defensive assistant, who's along the who's along for the ride next season, who could potentially be, you know, one of the coaches for returning Hank T next year. They have all boarded a plane to fly over to California to go and talk to Hank about a little bit about what next season's going to look like. Now, a little bit more backstory. There have been a couple of reports, maybe some rumors going around that maybe Hank T's thoughts around the program have been changing a little bit during his time away from the team, right? Maybe the feeling about his return wasn't necessarily so optimistic as time has gone on. I think that's, you know, one of the reasons that you may see this happening. This isn't even the only time it's actually happened for this coaching staff this year so far. It says here in this article from Price and Hubs that Pruitt and company actually made a trip to North Carolina to go talk to Quavarius Crouch last year. So there's your story right now. One day after the investigation, Jeremy Pruitt, Kevin Steele, Kevin Simon, and Derek Ansley all jump on a plane, and I'd imagine they're somewhere. Well, actually, I don't know when they left. What am I saying? I was trying to make a joke. But they're flying to California to go talk to Hank T. I feel like I have 5 to 10 different gut reactions in my head from just a couple minutes ago when we held this story. But I'll go ahead and throw it on the table first. Brandon, what's your initial reaction? What's kind of your thought process towards this new story that was broken down by VolQuest and where it's going?
Well, initially, when you look at it, I think a lot of people will probably think, okay, Pruitt met with the lawyers yesterday. The investigation basically got wrapped up yesterday. And then today, Pruitt is flying to California with a couple coaches to go talk to Hank T.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it on the surface, it looks like, okay, looks like he's coming back. Looks like he's going to stay. And that very well may be the case. We were talking about it during the break. I'm leaning a little bit more on the side of Charlie here. I don't think it's done just yet. I think what Charlie was saying is right. He does kind of continue to have to – I mean, he has to do his job and at least continue to do the things that are part of his job until he is no longer the head coach of Tennessee. I was reading an article from John Bryce on Football Scoop, basically saying the same thing about the investigation basically wrapped up yesterday. And that he says this, around campus, even among myriad athletics department employees, the belief is that Pruitt is done at Tennessee.
Sure. So I guess another thought that I've had, and I'm going back and forth and really kind of both sides of it, but to your point, when you think about a guy like Hank T, right, you know he's going to come back. You know he's going to be the leader of the defense. You know he's one of the absolute most, you know, brightest shining stars on this whole program, on this whole team. So it makes sense. We haven't ever really heard that, you know, Derek Ansley is in that much trouble of, you know, getting ousted. And obviously, Kevin Steele was just brought in. So it makes sense. You bring over your, you know, it makes sense that the defensive coordinator would want to go convince, you know, Hank T, or at least maybe calm some fears to get back your best defensive player. It makes sense that Kevin Steele, who, you know, potentially eyeing this inside linebacker's job, is basically going to want to go and talk to his number one guy on the defense in case, again, like what we've been saying, some of the reports, in case he is changing his mind a little bit about what he wants to do on his return.
Look, I would not read too far into the timing of this. Like Brandon mentioned, you do your job until you don't have the job anymore. I mean, you look at assistant coaches when there are staff changes, when head coaches are fired. They're still on the road recruiting, whether they have a head coach or not, whether they even know that they're retained on the new staff or not. They recruit until the day that they're told you're not retained. You look at John Curry, for example. Hell, we fired him while he was interviewing a head coaching candidate on the other side of the country. It's just, that's the nature of football. You do your job until you don't have it anymore. And as for the timing with the investigation, for the most part, wrapping up yesterday, well, yeah, Pruitt had, according to reports, a roughly 6-hour interview yesterday. But the investigation side of things have wrapped up, sure. But, I mean, you're still, it's not over. I mean, now you're just getting to the point where you've gathered all your information. You've talked to everybody. And now you're at the point where you review all the evidence and you draw your conclusions. So I think that's just the stage of the investigation we've now entered, is the drawing conclusions phase, where you do figure out, okay, well, where do we go from here? What do we have to do from here? What are our violations and what are our punishments going to be?
Yeah, and in accordance with that, you know, here's a tweet from Russell, Herd 36 Daily. And he said, I could be wrong, but I don't think Pruitt going to Cali to re-recruit his best player, another great sign, means anything as far as the investigation is concerned. The university will need some time to digest the findings. Choose joy. I got to say, like, my gut reaction to this, right when I heard it, was, all right, well, the university is not going to be sending him over, you know, if they know they're going to let go of him in a couple of days. But I will say, over the past couple of minutes and through this conversation, I was kind of eased off that. And it does make sense that, you know, and again, maybe the biggest thing that swayed me was, dude, Ansley and Steele, no matter who the head coach is going to want to reassure their best player on the defensive side of the ball that this team is still going in the right direction. Like, Kevin Steele would be foolish to not want to go do that. We've been praising Kevin Steele for how great of a recruiter he is. This is the man doing his work. So in that light, it would naturally make sense that the head coach would be along for the ride, especially if he is not fired yet. And if he was, you know, say, you know, the university maybe feels like this weekend they're still going to maybe let him go. Doesn't matter, because you're still sending your defensive coordinator and your inside linebackers coach and the guy that was very critical in hiring Hank T, or excuse me, in recruiting Hank T and Kevin Simon. You're all sending them to talk to him too. So I got to be honest, I backed off from my gut reaction a little bit, and I do kind of think I fall on your side. I think that, you know, this would likely be happening regardless, because this is your best defensive player. That's kind of the the final thing that I'm getting to.
Well, and Ansley and Steele and Simon are all going to be hoping slash fighting to retain their positions on the staff if Pruitt were to leave and a new coach were to come in.
Right. Yeah, and we've talked about the possibility that, you know, you did bring in a guy like Steele to maybe take over an interim position. Again, these are guys that you want to get familiarized, or this is a guy that you want to get familiarized with the current players that you have on the team, especially if you are looking to re-recruit them to any kind of extent. Chance, you have any kind of thoughts that come to your mind when it comes to Pruitt and company jumping in the jet, flying West Coast to go talk to Hank?
I mean, I think they're going out there to get their guy because they're going to be coaching next season. We talked about it during the break. Until I see it, and I'll be the first.
Sure.
Charlie, if they fire Pruitt, I'll come in here and say, Charlie, you were right. They were going to fire him. Same thing to Brandon. I just don't think you do it. I was along the lines of what Rick was saying during the break. He was just like, well, it doesn't make sense after, you know, a compliance meeting lasting for 6 hours. They said Pruitt talked to attorneys that – you send somebody, and sure enough, maybe it's just you know, college football work, and he's doing his job until he's fired, and he's just, you know, showing that he has a commitment to working as a coach, even if he doesn't know his future. But to me, with everything going on, and if there's so much speculation, what Brandon said too, that the guy, everybody thinks he's gone, and sure, these things take time, these investigations, but come on, man, like, to me, trying to be rational, I think, in my opinion, that it doesn't make a lot of sense to send a coach out there where I guess Hank T has issues and his family questioning the investigation, what's going on in Pruitt's future. So if you're Philip Fulmer, which I do think he signs off on a lot of this stuff, like, I mean, yes, there's a budget for them to fly and do whatever, but I still think Jeremy Pruitt had to go to Philip Fulmer and say, hey, we're going to go take the, you know, going to take the pilot plane. We're going out to, you know, out west to talk to Henry and to keep him on this roster. I still think those things are things you let your head coach do that you know you're going to retain.
I mean, Fulmer's not the one letting him nor not letting him do it. It's not like he, every time an assistant coach hits the road or any time the head coach wants to travel, he has to call up Phil and be like, hey, Phil,
semantics.
Can I get on a plane?
Did you not hear me? I said I know, but I still think he has to be like, he has to give a heads up and say, hey, we're going out west. It's like, yes, it's I think they're not doing it unless they're going to keep him. That's just me.
I mean, I don't know. You work until you don't have a job. Like, he was he did the same thing with Quavarius Crouch earlier this month.
Yeah, he went to North Carolina.
He went to North Carolina and
but the difference between that one is that one did not come off the piggyback of, you know, kind of what's been happening in the last 72 hours or just kind of what's been happening this week. That's where I think the only slight difference with that one is.
Like I said, if they fire him, I'll be the first person
well,
to be
but
like,
here's,
yeah.
But here's the thing. This investigation has been going on since
December.
November.
Oh, well, since November, yeah.
It just ended yesterday. I mean, there's no way that whoever these investigators are turning their reports over to, there's no way that they went through all of that from the time that the interview ended yesterday from the time till now when Pruitt's going to California.
That's an absolute great point. Yes, they didn't get done talking to him and say, all right, it's done, he's good to go. Like, yeah, I know they didn't close the book on that like that. But I don't know. We'll see. The thing is, nobody knows.
Yeah.
That's legitimately the thing. We can sit back and hear, me and you can go back and forth, me and Charlie can go back and forth, but at the end of the day, none of us really know what they're going to do.
I got to tell you, man, there are so many reports about a guy that Tennessee might hire, a guy that Tennessee is talking to. We're talking to a couple defensive line coaches, right? There's just so many things going on right now. It is hard to keep track, honestly, of everything that's going on.
You guys want some breaking news?
Let everyone know we still don't have an offensive line coach. Yeah.
It's the short one. I don't think you
Happy
mentioned
Friday.
Oh, wow, that was...
Happy Friday.
That exists?
Happy Friday!
The short one. I don't think you mentioned this yet, and if you did, I apologize. But in breaking news, according to Diana Rossini of ESPN, the Atlanta Falcons have made an offer to Arthur Smith to become their next head coach, per sources.
Yeah, they offered him this morning. the Eagles are expected to potentially try to bid for him as well, and then he could decide what which of the jobs he wants, or if he wants to come back and be an offensive coordinator and try to go to a more ideal location next year.
Yeah, Smith's been the offensive coordinator for the Titans for the last two seasons, probably the best offensive seasons they've had in a while, too.
He took them from bottom three in the league to the number one offense in the NFL in a two-year span.
So, yeah, Falcons may have found their guy if he decides to
What a 180 from Dan Quinn, their last coach.
Defensive coach.
The guy who came over, the architect of the Legion of Boom. He's now a defensive coordator again with Dallas now.
Dallas did hire him.
Yeah, Dallas went with Dan Quinn.
Hey, and he was a hell of a defensive coordinator, so like I feel like that's probably a great thing for Dallas.
They can't get worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's a great thing for Dallas.
I think you find out with Dallas, was he just in the right place at the right time with the Legion of Boom, one of the scariest and most daunting secondaries we've ever seen? Or was he in reality the mastermind or the architect behind it? In the case of the Cowboys and my team, I desperately hope that he was indeed the architect and it wasn't just a lot of really good pieces came together at the right time.
As for Arthur Smith in Atlanta, though, that is an incredibly ideal fit for him. I mean, there are just so many pieces to work with there, and I think it fits into his repertoire and his identity as an offensive coach and play caller very well. And honestly, I think if he gets that job, I mean, you could not even add anything to this team in the offseason, and they would be immediate playoff contender just because of the talent on their roster. And if you look at it this year, they lost a lot of games, but games they were in position to win or could have won, I mean, we're up to like 12.
What was their record at the end of the year?
I believe it was either 4 or 5 wins.
I saw a graphic that was team's record if games had ended at halftime, and theirs was like 9-7 or 10-6, which would have been enough to get them in the playoffs, but they just totally collapsed in most games.
Anyway,
very Atlanta of them.
More thoughts on
Oh my God, that onside kick looked like it had a magnet in it.
More thoughts on the Pruitt conversation, though. I'm not saying that I think he's going to be fired. I'm not saying that I think he's going to be retained. I'm just saying that I think you can't make a judgment call, a decision on either way, really, on if he will be retained or not. And I don't think that we should read too much into the information that we have now to make a decision either way. That's pretty much what I'm saying. Him going to California doesn't mean he's staying. It also doesn't mean he's fired or anything else. It's just wait and see.
So if everybody here had to give out what their current reading on the hot seat o-meter is, 1 is definitely staying. 10 is definitely getting a new head coach. And you can have any interval in between, whatever your heart desires. Give us as many decibel points as you feel like is necessary.
8.67.
8.67.
Staying versus getting a new coach?
Mm-hmm.
10 is fired. Fired. 1 is staying.
3.
Okay. Charlie, you got a hot seat-o-meter?
I'd say 60% fired, 40% stays.
Okay, well, you went against the meter, but I was like, that was not at all. Well, you had to be different, but I'll accept it.
What was the hot seat-o-meter again?
Well, I'm not explaining it for a fourth time. Mine.
Run it back.
Just one to ten.
One to ten.
I'm going to say...
Well, 6 then. 6. 60% translates directly to 6.
I'm 4.9.
You can do the math.
No, you can do the math. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set up a motor, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats. Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see LA. I really want to come pick it with you. You'll be my American boy. All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 11:24 a.m. here on a Friday afternoon. Hope everybody out there is doing well. Hope everybody out there is having a great day so far. Now, just like it always happens on pretty much
any Friday show. It seems like we're going to run out of topics to talk about today. It seems like we're going to run out of time to talk about all the topics that we need to get into, seeing as a little bit of breaking news might have taken our attention away. But that's not even the only bit of breaking news that we've seen today. I'll throw it over to Brandon right now, as there could be, it seems, a couple changes to the NCAA Division I men's basketball tournament. Is that correct?
Not could be, but will be.
Ah.
Will be. And it's only for this year.
Okay.
This is from the NCAA. The NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Committee adopted new bracketing principles effective only for the 2021 championship as a result of the entire tournament being played in Indiana.
Okay.
While the participating schools' participating schools' geographic proximity to the sites hosting preliminary rounds largely drives the committee's bracketing decisions in a typical year, this year's bracket will be mostly determined by the overall seed list, which is the committee's ranking of the 68 teams participating in the event. So instead of, like in a normal year, say, who are the top four seeds this year?
All right.
Like right now.
I'll give you Gonzaga, Baylor.
Gonzaga would be in the West.
Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and then Villanova.
Villanova would be in the East. Just say Tennessee somehow gets a one seed. Tennessee in the South.
Okay.
But so
it would be like the 1-1 seed and the 4-2 seed would be together, and then the 1-3 seed and the 4-4 seed.
But the geographic proximity to the sites will no longer drive the committee's decision where they bracket teams. They'll do it 1 through 68. Says things will, however, things will be different in 2021. The overall number 5 seed will be placed in the same region as the overall number 4. The overall number 6 will be placed with the overall number 3. 7 will be paired with overall 2. 8 will be paired with the top seeded team, and so on and so forth. So there you have it.
I gotta say, I'm a little lost.
So
is it going to be the exact same thing, except it's just not
so
regionally based?
Well, so usually when they bracket these teams up,
yeah,
your top seeds, your number one seeds,
right,
will go
to the region that's
closest.
Okay, yeah,
and then they try to put the top two seed would go to the last one seed. That will happen this year.
They try
to do that in other years, but they also try to help those teams geographically. It will be
100% balanced based on the rankings.
Based on the seeds.
They also try to normally avoid repeat matchups and conference matchups, but if it's straight true seeding, then I guess that's also not in consideration.
I guess so. Because that is a good point. That usually,
but basically, if you take 1 through 4 of each seed, the number 1 seed will be with a number 4 2 seed, and then that same region will have the number 1 3 seed and the number 4 4 seed, the number 1 5, the number 4 6, and so on and so forth. And then the 2 will be with the 7, the 3 will be with the 6, and the 4 will be with the 5.
Here's a little further explanation. Each of the top 4 teams selected from a conference shall be placed in different regions if they are seated on the first 4 lines. So the top 4 teams from a conference will be divided up, even if they're on the same seed line. Teams from the same conference shall not meet before the regional final if they played each other 3 or more times during the regular season, and that includes the conference tournament.
So they're saying no fourth matchups. That is what we will get rid of.
Yes.
Okay.
Teams from the same conference shall not meet before the regional semifinals if they played each other twice during the regular season to include the conference tournament.
Okay.
Teams from the same conference may play each other as early as the second round if they played no more than once during the regular season to include the conference tournament. And if possible, rematches of non-conference regular season games should be avoided in the first round and first 4.
All right. Okay. It's very much starting to make sense in my head now. You know, actually, the way that I kind of started thinking about it that really made it clicked, and I know this isn't a perfect one-to-one comparison by any stretch of the imagination, but when we did our 64 TV show bracket, right, we had those separated into its categories: drama, comedy, animated, and then miscellaneous.
Yeah, so just take that, and then you would just rank all 64 of those. And
because we would have never
scrapped the,
you know,
the different
the one seed in miscellaneous or reality is different from the one seed in drama. But in this situation, you would just legitimately have all 64 TV shows ranked 1 to 64 and then place them in the corresponding bracket. That makes all the sense in the world now. All right, so a little bit of different look for the NCAA tournament this year. Regardless, though, Tennessee should still be in a good position for it. And ultimately, it's the same thing, right? Well, it's 64, you know, team bracket with the four playing games, so on and so forth. But we'll definitely see how this whole thing goes to work out. I have no idea what a 68-team tournament is going to look like in the year of 2021. But I'm certainly excited to find out and see what they do for it. Any thoughts? Any more thoughts on the basketball tournament?
Like it.
That's kind of wrapped up for right now. It just kind of once you understand what they're doing. But that's good stuff. So obviously and you know what? I like how, you know, it seems like the NCAA obviously trying to figure all this out very early in advance, getting their target location, getting their target seating and bracketology and all that kind of stuff, making sure that everything's going to be ready to go for every aspect that they can control. All right, gentlemen, we are into the final quarter of the show today, heading into the fourth quarter. So what a better way to head into the next segment than let's talk about a little NFL playoff action starting tomorrow, ending Sunday night. Who is going to make it to the final two games of each of... What am I trying to say here?
The championship round.
The championship round. Thank you, Brandon. See you in a minute. All right, here we go, gentlemen. Back here on the Blitz, 11:35 a.m. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you as we are making our way through the final 30 here on a Friday afternoon, or at least making our way towards a Friday afternoon. But with it being a Friday afternoon means that the weekend is almost here. And, man, every single time the weekend rolls around, that means one thing in my head. It means another opportunity, another tremendous opportunity to make a little extra money.
Oh, yeah. If you want to make some money this weekend, we have second round of the playoffs. We are in the divisional stage, I believe, one more week until we get to the conference championships. And like Rick said, it is the perfect time, especially if you live here in Tennessee, to get in with our friends over at FanDuel. The playoffs, my favorite time of the year. I know there are a lot of your favorite times of the year. And you shouldn't. Don't wait to bet all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. It's exciting. And right now, new users on FanDuel Sportsbook get an exclusive, that's right, exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the second round this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. You like the Packers? Take the Packers. Get the 25-1 odds boost. Say you like the Ravens and the Bills. You want one of those? Take it on that one. Do not miss out on the exclusive offer. I've been betting football on FanDuel all season long. I love the same game parlays. I love boosts like this with the 25-1 odds. We love all the different options that FanDuel gives us. It's easy to register. It's easy to deposit. I mean, it's a click of a button, and it's easy to find any of the bets that you like. They even have bets listed as popular bets that most of the betting public is betting on their homepage. It's fast withdrawals. When you win, they don't make you wait. They get your winnings to you in as little as 24 hours. And also, you have player props you can bet on, futures. You can literally find whatever you are looking for on FanDuel with the wide range of options. You also have live betting, and like I told you, the odds boost, and even the product features such as the multiple game parlay and same game parlay. So, what are you waiting on right now? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook and use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BLITZ. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated Boost Market. A deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for a problem of gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
There you go. Hey, lots of great opportunities to make yourself a little bit of extra cash coming up this weekend.
Cha-ching.
And we don't want you to miss any, get the any of it.
Go get that paper. Go get the bag.
There you go. All right, guys. Four NFL playoff games this weekend. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. Starting things off on Saturday, 4:35 p.m., L.A. and Green Bay. 8:15 p.m., Baltimore and Buffalo. Sunday at 3:05, Kansas City and Cleveland. And then last but not least, wrapping things up on Sunday evening, 6:40 p.m., you have Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
Yeah, getting it started out the gate, the headliners, you said Green Bay versus the Rams. Packers come in as a 6.5-point favorite, according to our friends at FanDuel. I think the Packers are going to win. I don't think that it's just a blowout or anything like that. I think it's very close. First half, I think the Packers pull away. In the second half, start to hold on time of possession, really try to wear down the Rams. Hopefully Aaron Donald doesn't play for us Packers fans out there. And if Jared Goff or Wofford plays, I mean, if Jared Goff plays, he gives them the best shot to win. And if Wofford plays, I think the Packers don't fear anything in this game. But, I mean, even with a banged-up Goff, Packers defense has been pretty good in the secondary. Jair Alexander, he should be able to shut down Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, whoever they throw at him. So I'm going to go to the Packers. I think they win a decently close one, probably a two-score game.
Yeah, Chance, I'm with you. I think we talked about this game a lot yesterday.
Aaron Rodgers' revenge tour.
But, you know, this is even one of my bold predictions for the weekend. But I'm even taking the Packers with the spread.
Yeah, I like them above, too, with the spread.
The 6.5 or you know, if it ends around there somewhere. I really like Green Bay in this game. But that is my boldest prediction for the weekend, is around a double-digit win. And that's the, you know, that's maybe one of the least competitive of the games this weekend.
I agree with you. I just made a same game parlay, took him on the spread as well.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, so I definitely I like the Packers here. I mean, 10 points, 10 to 14 points, I think shouldn't be too much for them. Really, Rodgers is determined. I think that defense is determined to you know, have his back. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm taking the Packers. I think it will be somewhat close.
Well, it's the playoffs.
Yeah, it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
These teams are here for a reason. They're very good teams. I saw a boosted bet on FanDuel that was Packers win by 14 plus. That had pretty good odds, but yeah. I'm a little scared of that one. I want to get in on it, but like I said, I think the Rams will keep it. I think they'll make it respectable. But I'm gonna take the Packers. I think they win.
The Rams defense is too good to get beat by. That much, I'd like to think. You mentioned John Wofford and Jared Goff, and I don't really think they're at a disadvantage with either quarterback necessarily, like one over the other. The talk before the game against Seattle last weekend was that McVay favored Wofford, that he thought that he was smarter and could actually do more. He provided an extra element to the offense. So, you know, if he plays, I don't think that necessarily spells doom for the Rams. And I think the Rams will at least cover here. You know, I picked them to win earlier in the week, so I guess I'll go ahead and stick with it. I'm still, you know, unsure about Aaron Donald, but I like the Rams to show the defense can still win a football game every once in a while here this weekend.
Next game up, 8:15, Baltimore-Buffalo. Quick thoughts on this one. Can Baltimore do it again for the second time in a row on the road in the playoffs? Lamar Jackson picks up his first playoff win last week. Will he pick up his second tomorrow?
The answer to your first question is yes, they can. But...
Oh, not so fast.
I'm going to go with the Bills.
Okay.
I like Josh Allen. I like that Bills offense.
We're going Baltimore. They're rolling lately. I think they got the offense clicking.
I like Josh Allen, too, and I like Diggs and what they're doing. No Zach Moss this week for him. The bulk of the carries would be all Devin Singletary. But I'm with Rick. I think Lamar's got something going. I'm going with the Ravens as well.
The Bills weren't very inspiring last week, but I still think they're a very good football team. As for the Ravens, they're hot lately, but they've only beat one team with a winning record, and that was the Titans last weekend, and that was also, you know, the third time they'd played them in 365 days or less, which, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times in a row like that. I'm going to go with the Bills here.
Would you say the NFL playoffs, though, is the most set up well for just a team that's hot? I mean, that's how Eli Manning got a couple rings.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about a team that's hot, there's no team in the NFL hotter than the Buffalo Bills, who have won, I believe, almost 10 in a row. Am I?
Yeah.
10 in a row, I think.
Both these teams going into this game are 10-0 combined in their last five each, with a couple with just dominating victories, widespread for the most part.
Look, Lamar Jackson can't throw the football, and he demonstrated that again last week. I mean, the Titans' defense is bad enough where they let him off the hook a couple times on the ground, but he can't throw the football. If it's 15 yards or further, it's not happening. And the Bills are a good enough and smart enough defense to play him the right way.
Sunday afternoon, 3:05 p.m., Kansas City, Cleveland. Kansas City, the defending Super Bowl champions, they have not been done well against the spread. I don't believe they've covered a spread in like 7 or 8 weeks. This is a team that's 14-2 on the season, but a couple of close calls at the end. Can Kansas City do it, or will this be the downfall? Kansas City is ranked second to last, and I believe one of it's I'm blanking on it right now, but one of the critical rush defensive categories, they have a really hard time stopping the run. Cleveland is known for the run with Chubb and Hunt. Is that going to be the downfall, or the defending Super Bowl champions advance here in the first round that they will play in?
I kind of think the Browns. I'm not going to pick the Browns.
Do you believe?
I'm picking them. Browns win.
Miracles.
I'm not picking the Browns to win, but I do think that game will be very, very close. Very close. And I think the Browns will have a chance to win. I don't think they will. The last time, I think, or I don't know. This is just from, I don't know if it's the last time. Have Mayfield and Mahomes played in the NFL yet?
Against each other?
Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine they have, but maybe not.
I'm not sure. Either way.
Mahomes is the oldest quarterback in the AFC left.
That's crazy.
Stats from whenever they met in college in 2016, Texas Tech and Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Mayfield had 7 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes had 819 total yards, and they combined for 1,279 passing yards.
That was peak Big 12 football, wasn't it?
That was it.
I think that Cleveland runs the ball a lot. I think that Kansas City will score the ball quickly. I think it'll be a weird game, but give me the Chiefs. I'm not going to pick against them in the playoffs until I see them do bad in the playoffs.
Just got to go to Browns for quality.
Okay.
This is a tough one. The Chiefs haven't really played a complete game of football, and God knows when, but the Browns just aren't experienced enough. I expect this to be the best game of the weekend. I think the Browns, like you guys mentioned, have a chance to win late, and I think it'll be, you know, an epic loss. But it's one of those losses where you say, wow, they really look good, and they're building towards something. They're going to be a popular pick next year kind of thing. So I think they'll cover, but they won't win.
Sunday night, final game of the weekend for the playoffs, an NFC South showdown. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, finally getting the Bucs back to this point in the playoffs. Meanwhile, going up against one of the guys who have been there forever, Drew Brees. Who does it? Who will advance to the NFC Championship? Will it be Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, Drew Brees and the Saints?
I want to see Brady Rodgers.
Me too.
But I don't think they'll get it done. I think, the Saints, they played twice this year. Granted, it's been since like week 9,
mm-hmm.
the last time they played. But neither one of those games were, especially the second one, was not close at all. Give me the Saints.
I will pick the Saints as well. Give me Alvin Kamara to be an X factor in this game. I think he, just like on Christmas, he shows you why he is still at the top of the list. And I think he does something in this game to make a difference and give New Orleans the win. AK.
I'm going to go with the Bucs. Okay. Like what Brady's been doing lately. I mean, he's got a nice rapport with those receivers, Evans, Godwin. They've done some work this year. Even Gronk's got in the mix. And
I don't know, that Bucs defense might have something to say about Kamara.
Yeah, Ronald Jones, too. I think they're a pretty complete team. I don't necessarily want to see the Packers face them if they both were to win just because how that week three or week four matchup went. But I think the Bucs win. I think that Breeze, for as much as criticism Brady got about not having it, which is just asinine, he looked pretty damn good this year and still doing Tom Brady things. Drew Brees really can't get the ball downfield anymore. They lean so heavily on Alvin Kamara, and I feel like if you just stop them, maybe Brees throws a touchdown, but they really rely so much on the ground game. Give me the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they rely on Kamara, but not necessarily the ground game, just as him is in his role in the offense. I mean, he only had, I think, two games where he rushed over 100 yards this year. So I do think the Saints, Drew Brees can't throw downfield, but they set up the offense where he doesn't need to. I think they're going to roll the Buccaneers. I think it'll be a multi-possession win in the Saints and potentially Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship.
There we go. That is what the NFL playoffs look like this weekend. Remember to go make yourself a little bit of money using our favorite sports betting app with the FanDuel Sportsbook. And, man, there are four great games this weekend. I can't wait for them to happen. I can't wait to be on the couch watching them all weekend. And I can't wait to be back on Monday sitting here talking about him on the other side. Now, on the other side of the break, we got our final segment of the show, but I do have one final hypothetical question for you guys that was just asked to me, and I want to go ahead and flip this around and ask you guys on the other side before we get into some If You Haven't Heard and close it out. Send you into the weekend on the right note. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on FanRun Radio. So I'm going to hit a little bit of a 180 here with only about 3 or so minutes left in the show. I'm going to save that hypothetical question I had for Monday. That's going to be a question I throw on the table, so you might have to wait a couple days, but trust me, it's going to be a good one that is going to get the juices moving. But in lieu of that, I want to take a quick second. Yesterday, we had posted a question to the Twitter machine, and we had discussed it here on air. Gentlemen, that question that we had absolutely exploded after the show yesterday and after we got off the air. We almost had some 250 responses to this one question. If you could reverse one play in Tennessee sports history, what would it be? I legitimately tried to go through it and categorize all of them. I tried to group it. I tried to get a number of each. I was going to ask you guys to guess, but it was way too difficult. There were so many answers, but I got to say, I think the number one answer, can you guess?
I'm
fairly confident that this is by far the number one.
Mount Cody, Bama, blocked field goal, or I don't know, some SEC championship game.
The Sweet 16, Jarnell Stokes.
Okay.
Cody or the Elite Eight game against Michigan State.
You guys are right. I do believe that Terrence Cody is probably the number one, at least what I was kind of skimming through and as many as I tried to take down as I possibly could before I just got lost. So anyways, that was a great question that we had put up yesterday. I love doing those just kind of looking back in history kind of questions because I think those are always fun. But anyways, hey, we don't have a lot of time left, but if anyone's got it, if you haven't heard, they want to throw out, and then we'll get over to the days. With only about a minute left in the show.
Brandon, Charlie?
I don't think I have one today.
Let me look. I don't know if I have one. Oh, Alabama defensive coordinator Pete Golding has become a prime candidate for the defensive coordinator position at Texas.
Yeah, so it's funny like how
Pruitt's off.
Saban, you know, very big on coaching rehab, and he's even talked about, you know, he loves doing that for the coaches. But he gets really pissed off when the coaches leave and start poaching from his staff after they've gotten a better job. That really ticks him off. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a great
if he
point.
Has anything. That's no, he's said it before. He says, but when they take from me, when they leave, it's very disrespectful.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Let's get to the national calendar days.
I wish Pruitt had maybe done that.
Awesome. One day is National Booch Day. You know what
booch?
A booch? A
booch. Can't say I'm familiar with it.
I don't really know what a booch is either.
Booch?
Oh, it's a... Oh. I don't know. when you look it up, National Hat Day also.
Oh,
you guys love hats. I might have spelled it wrong, though, too.
Yes.
How do you spell it?
B-O-O-C-H. When I typed that in, something else came up. It's also National Bagel Day. You guys love a good bagel?
Yes, I don't really care for them.
I love a good...
Oh, I think it's... are we talking about kombucha?
No.
Isn't that a drink?
Yeah, maybe it's just like the
I
slang
think
term
what
for
it's
kombucha.
About.
I don't know
maybe.
If it's a slang term or not. Also, National Strawberry Ice Cream Day.
What's that's my favorite kind. I love strawberry.
Strawberry
ice cream.
Ice cream is nasty.
You so.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience out there. It's